Track 3, FC and Autistic Child Trauma. On the last track, we discussed four ethically questionable possible results of hypnosis. Number 1, client-created memories. Number 2, distort existing memories. 3, incorporate cues from leading therapist questions. And 4, incorporate therapist beliefs. We also discussed the path the client might take to resolve their supposed sexual abuse. On this track, we will examine facilitated communication, or FC, with autistic children, trauma, and its possible ethical misuse. As you may know already, facilitated communication, also known as FC, is a procedure that supposedly allows those afflicted with cerebral palsy and autism to express their thoughts. Invented in Australia by Rosemary Crossley, FC involves a special education teacher known as a facilitator who supports the arm of the autistic child and senses where the hand of a cerebral palsy client wants to go on a keyboard and guides their finger there. Suddenly, those clients thought to have IQs around retarded levels can write essays on Shakespeare and calculus. According to Eleanor Goldstein in Confibulations, Creating False Memories, Destroying Families, FC is only successful when the facilitator knows the answer already, and FC has been proved a fraud in controlled experiments, even though it was created with honorable intentions, according to Goldstein. In these experiments, an autistic child and a facilitator are shown different objects. Invariably, according to Goldstein, the facilitator types what the facilitator has seen, not what the autistic child has seen. When only the autistic child was shown an object, the correct answer was never typed. Unfortunately, FC has been used to uncover false allegations of the sexual abuse trauma. In over 70 cases across North America, Europe, and Australia, autistic children have typed out messages such as, "Daddy, suck my prick." Syracuse University education professor Douglas Bicklam, an FC communicator, may be responsible for these kinds of discoveries, as it was he who suggested to facilitators to be on the lookout for sexual abuse. In his book, Communication Unbound, he claims that 13% of his students alleged sexual abuse through FC. More strikingly, some FC-facilitated communication proponents have written that there is almost a 100% likelihood that a disabled child will be molested before he or she is 18. Facilitated communication is confirming these statistics. Even though these numbers seem skewed, can you see how they inevitably influence facilitators into suspecting that their autistic clients are being molested at home? In some cases, autistic girls with intact hymens have supposedly been subjected to hundreds of parental rapes. As you can see, the facilitator has inadvertently transferred their expectation into their work with autistic clients. By expecting sexual abuse and looking diligently for it, the facilitators unknowingly make the probability of finding indications of abuse even higher. However, these indications by the client are more than likely from the facilitator's own consciousness. Unintentionally, the facilitators have misused their authority in their work with the physically and mentally disabled children population, some believe. This is, of course, in violation of Standard 1.14 of the NASW Code of Ethics, which states, when social workers act on the behalf of a client who lacks the capability to make informed decisions, social workers should take reasonable steps to safeguard the interests and rights of those clients. These rights are the same as the rights of all people, such as freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and, most appropriately, the right to privacy. Consider the ethical dilemma if indeed the mentally disabled clients are not being represented accurately. Accusations of sexual abuse could lead to an undue violation of privacy. Also, if the facilitators are not capable of representing the client's thoughts properly, then the facilitators are enacting an excessive amount of authority. The facilitators are, unfortunately, not projecting the thoughts of the client, but merely foretelling their own expectation. Because of their confidence in the efficacy of the procedure, facilitators do not consider that the words typed are not the words of the client. Although this isn't a direct example of false memory generation, FC can serve as a metaphor for the repressed memory search. Even though the facilitator might not be consciously creating incidences of abuse, it is their words and not the client's words that they are typing, some feel. Likewise, therapists dealing with autistic children might not know that they are implementing false memories of abuse into their clients. A simple demonstration can be seen in the case of Clever Hans, a horse who supposedly could memorize geography, history, science, and literature. Bear with me, as I know this seems a strange metaphor. Hans would tap his foot a certain number of times for each letter. Many eminent psychologists and zoologists believed in the horse's genius. However, as soon discovered that Hans could not answer when blindfolded. Hans was reading the reactions of the scientist and his owner, such as raised eyebrows or nods, that changed when he had reached the correct number of hoof taps. Hans was being influenced by subtle clues. Now, these same subtle clues exist, for example, with a hypnotized patient, as discussed on a previous track, and with FC, supposedly uncovering repressed memories that the client can pick up whether they are doing as the therapist expects them to do. Because clients believe in the infallibility of their therapist, any kind of positive reaction from the therapist becomes a sign of healthy growth. Clients will utilize this method thinking they are becoming more mentally healthy by fulfilling the therapist's wishes. On this track, we discussed facilitated communications and its possible ethical misuse related to the trauma of sexual abuse. On the next track, we will examine using dream interpretation and sleep paralysis as a mode of recovering repressed memories. Question 3. In what way are statistics that espouse the prominence of sexual abuse trauma in disabled autistic children can create what ethical dilemma in the use of FC?